مكة المكرمة. مكة المكرمة. That this is the sacred place.
Subhanallah. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking oath on this sacred place. Let's think about this a little bit. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْكَعْبَةَ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامِ. Allah has made the Kaaba, the Bayt al-Haram, the sacred home. It's haram. What's haram in there? You cannot do what you do elsewhere. You cannot pick up, you cannot take out a plant from the ground, uproot it. You definitely cannot harm someone, cannot kill someone, obviously. None of those things are allowed because this is Baytul Haram. It's a very sacred place. And Qiyaman Linnas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this a place for people to get their needs fulfilled. Qiyam, to stand. The Kaaba and Baytul Haram is a reason for people's, the Meccans, for their financial stability, economic stability. For them to have, that's a reason why people respected them, even though they were not very refined people. But because the fact that they had the Kaaba with them, people paid the respect. People would come and give nadhar. They would come and donate large amounts of wealth to the Kaaba, at the Kaaba, like they do in next to idols today. In certain religions. And that's why there was a huge treasure chest by the Kaaba where people would come and donate large amounts of gold, large amounts of big sacrifices. Even not sacrifice of just goats and cows and camels, sacrifices of elephants. And now the Meccans, they're, you know, running the show. Like you have in Indo-Pak places where people run the whole system there. People come and donate money and everything, and they, mashallah, you know, good 50% is what administrative cost. Or maybe it's 95%. You know, so here you go. So they used to come and they used to take all that gold there. They had access to the gold. They had access to the meat. They had access to, you know, the wealth that people would come and give in the name of the gods. Because Kaaba itself had within it hundreds of idols. Hundreds of idols. And Qiyamah, لِقِيَامَ لِلنَّاسِ, till today, Kaaba and Mecca remains a source of Ottomans. They had that for those 8 centuries. It gave them so much strength. And today, those who rule that place, it's on the name of that place that they rule. What is the title that's given? It's given خَادِمُ الْحَرَمَيْنَ الشَّرِيفَيْنَ. That's how that respect comes directly from the Kaaba. That you are the servant, the custodian of the two holy mosques. Okay. So on the basis of that, people can pay the respect. And economically, massive economy due to Hajj and Umrah. Well, it was like that before, and it still continues to be like that. Allah Azza wa Jal says, this Kaaba is honorable, Baytul Haram is honorable, it's a source of your ma'ash, your risk. So that you have this understanding, أن الله يعلم ما في السماوات ما في الأرض. That Allah knows whatever's in the heavens and the earth. وأن الله بكل شيء عليم. And Allah is all aware of everything. Meaning, when a person goes to this Mubarak place of Kaaba, Baytullah, my beloved friends, it's like you're entering an embassy. You know, there's people, when you are in a country and you enter the embassy of another country, what happens? Embassy is regarded as what? Property of the other country, isn't it? So if a person is running away and he enters, like you've seen in the world has happened, a person wants to take shelter and refuge from the country he's in, he enters the country, another country's embassy. And if that country does not allow, that gives him an amnesty, then the country, host country, cannot come and arrest him there. Because that embassy, that portion of land or that embassy now belongs to another country. Correct? So, Kaaba and Baytullah and Masjid al-Haram, although it's on this earth, but it's not from this earth. Right? This is Allah's house. This is Allah's house. So you've gone through a portal. Right? You've transported yourself somewhere else when you enter Masjid al-Haram. You've gone somewhere else. And that's why it's haram. Because you can, that's why they say in the Meccans, they had this idea that you can even if you see your father's assassin in the haram, you don't touch him. You figure out a way to get him out of the masjid and get him out of the sacred precinct, and then you take care of him outside. Imagine you see your father's assassin right in front, hands off. We're in a different place. This is Allah's embassy. Subhanallah. So when a person goes there, 100% he's supposed to feel something. That's why when we see the minarets of Kaaba, of Makkah al-Mukarramah, you know, may Allah take us all there. But you feel something, even if you're sleeping from Medina or from Jeddah. You wake up and you see those minarets. I'm sure you all have felt this awe. They're short and stocky compared to the ones in Medina. But they are like turrets. Turrets, you know? Meaning they are like of a fort, turrets of a fort that are laden with guns. In a sense that when you see a turret or a tower that's filled with security, you know, you get awestruck. So those minarets, subhanAllah, they instill awe within a person. And a person recites the dua. Allahumma inna hadha al-balada baladuk. Oh Allah, this city is your city. وَلَهَذَا الْحَرَمُ حَرَمُكَ. And this sacred precinct is your sacred precinct. وَهَذَا الْأَمَنُ أَمَنُكَ. And the safety that you have given to people is your safety. Allahumma ana abduk. Oh Allah, I am your servant. وَابْنُ عَبْدِكَ. And the son of your servant. وَابْنُ أَمَتِكَ. And the son of your slave lady. Male slave, female slave. I'm a slave, son of a slave. Son of an amma. نَاصِيَتِي بِيَدِكَ. My forehead is completely in your hands. مَالٍ فِيَّ حُكْمُكَ. Your affair, your decisions run in me. Whatever you decide happens. عَدْلٌ فِيَّ قَضَاءُكَ. And whatever decree you pass regarding me is always just. So this is what a person recites when he's entering the haram and when he sees the Kaaba as well. Now, a person says, I go to haram, I visit the haram, I perform the tawaf, I do the sa'i, go for hajj maybe, for example. I don't feel anything. If he doesn't feel anything, it's not because there's nothing there, it's because we're empty inside. As a scholar mentioned so beautifully, that haram is not a jug, a bucket filled with goodness that is going to get poured into your lap. Instead, the haram is a lantern where you will see what you have in your lap. You will see what you own. You will see what you're made out of. You will see what you're made out of. Not that a person goes with a sinful heart and decides to continue to sin. And he says, I'm going to go and change. I'm going to go check it out. That's why parents were worried about their children's hidayah. And they say, our kid is going off track. And they say, let's take him for umrah. It might not be the best thing to do. Because you have to be ready to go to those places. If a person has no niyyah of making tawbah, and he comes along as a skeptic, then you're going to have a bigger problem. Because when he comes, if you go to these blessed lands as a skeptic, Allah forbid, you'll come back definitely worse than you went. That's why they say the Hajj al-Aswad is Allah's right hand on this earth. The one who kisses it is like kissing Allah's hand. Allahu Akbar. I don't even know how I'm saying this. Right? Subhanallah. And when a person comes in front of the Hajj al-Aswad and he does his istilam with his hands and he kisses it, whatever the condition of your heart is, that's what you're going to get sealed with. So it's like this massive stamp at Hajj al-Aswad. Whatever's inside stays inside. That's why the ulama, they would get so scared before they'd begin their tawaf. So scared before they come in front of the Hajj al-Aswad. Because this is like an x-ray machine, but it's not just an x-ray machine. You get stamped with it. And that there will be a lisan, a tongue that Allah Azza wa Jalla will enable, as according to some books it mentions, that Allah will enable the Hajj al-Aswad to speak up on the Day of Judgment. It will testify based on what it saw. It will testify in what was inside the heart of each person who came and kissed it or attempted or said salam at it. So that's why they would say, do abundant istighfar before you come in front. So when a person goes to the haram, does tawaf and sa'i, and doesn't feel anything, then that's because there's a major problem. The example I gave the other day of COVID, When a person says, how we used to figure out someone's got COVID in the family or friends, say, oh, bring some coffee, bring the ether, and they bring the vinegar, and they say, you don't smell it. What happens? Did vinegar lose its smell? Did the ether lose its smell? Coffee lost its smell? No, you have lost your ability to smell. There's none of these things. These things are all the same. We all smell it. You are sick. Not that these things have changed. So when a person goes to these Mubarak places and doesn't take effect, it's very scary. It's not that something has happened to the haram because of the clock tower now, or because of the rules of the government, things have changed. No, that place will always, the immediate, that there's the anwarat will always be there, no matter how much effort is being made to cover up those anwarat. You just have to find it. It's there. Yes, it's covered under a lot of trees and a lot of bush and whatnot, but it's 100% there. The nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, directly from the throne of Allah azza wa jalla through the Baytul Ma'mur, is pouring down in that Kaaba. That is the center of the universe. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكَ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We have made you as an ummah that follows the middle path, and your Kaaba is in the middle of the earth as well. So that is the ultimate place where the nur is descending. How can it be that a person doesn't get any nur there? It's a Niagara Fall times millions of nur pouring down there. And people who go there with that niyyah of looking for it, they actually feel it 100%. So when a person doesn't feel it, it's because he's lost. His heart has become dead, frankly speaking. His soul has died. His soul has died. And so now they come back criticizing and belittling, Allah forbid, what happened. So what was I saying is that not every son or daughter of the ummah should be immediately taken on an umrah group unless they are prepped and prepared before they go. Warna lene ke dene par jayenge. Instead of benefiting, we will actually harm ourselves. That is why doing those of who you plan to go for Hajj this year, and those who want to go for Umrah, etc., you know, do i'tikaf in the house of Allah. Right? Spend a couple days in the masjid, do i'tikaf. Definitely. Sit in durus, halaqat, dhikr. You don't just sit on a plane and go for Hajj. That's like the worst thing to do. Seriously. Because we're not prepared. You ask your wives and ask yourselves if you ever bake anything. Whoever, you know, takes something, you know, to bake it, throws it in the oven and says, yeah, we'll turn it on now. Every single recipe calls for preheat, yeah? Every single recipe. Have you ever, you know, tried to fry an egg without, you know, just on a cold pan? What does that do to you? Nothing. When you go to the haram without preparing yourself, that's what we're doing. We're expecting to come back. You cannot fry an egg without warming it up for a couple of minutes. How do you expect to change your life without a warm-up? That warm-up must happen before we go there. Especially in the time and age we live in, that we need a lot of time for warm-up. So those brothers and sisters who are making niyyah for Hajj, make niyyah, especially the brothers, to do i'tikaf this year. You cannot do all 10 days, do i'tikaf 5 days, do i'tikaf 3 days. And the sisters as well, you can do i'tikaf at home. You can listen to all the live stream programs and do i'tikaf in your house. Right? But definitely do something extremely spiritual. Give up certain things. You know, get rid of those dramas. Get rid of those time-wasting cell phone apps. Get rid of all of those social media business. And then bring some change. Otherwise, inna Allah raji'un, when we go to the haram and we come back, we won't be able to tell the difference. What does the hadith say? Raja'aka yawmin waladatu ummu. When you come back, you're supposed to come back as though the day your mother has given you birth. Completely sin-free. Sin-free. That will only happen when we prepare ourselves. Similarly, when you go to Masjid al-Nabawi, Masjid al-Nabawi, and you go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Rawdah, what happens, my beloved brothers and sisters? A person, there are some people who go there, definitely, when they arrive in Medina already, they're trembling. Hazrat Sheikh Zakari Alhamdulillah Ali, who we have all benefited, whether you all know it or not, you've benefited tremendously from him, and from the works of his, and from his students, and thousands of students. When he would arrive, when he would be in Masjid Nabawi, he's buried there. He went there to die. And that's where he's buried, in Jannat al-Baqiyah. But he would not have the courage to go say salam. He would take him. He would say salam from far. He would very seldom go in front to say salam. Himmati nahi hoti hai. He said, I don't have the courage to go in front. What are these people, lost their mind? No. We've lost our minds. If you can live stream visiting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you can FaceTime visiting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you and I have lost our minds. If you and I can have our shoes in our left or in our right hand and saying salam with our left at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you and I have lost our minds. It's not just a jali. It's just not like, oh, it's just some, yeah, green paint over here. Whatever's going on there. My dear friends, these are dead hearts. Dead hearts are things like that. Otherwise, a heart who is just alive, subhanAllah, just his eyes glancing on the beautiful green dome, on those beautiful minarets, as he lands into the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's already going to get goosebumps. He's already been thinking, Subhanallah, how am I going to go to this? How am I going to go present myself? That is the place where the true, yani Subhanallah, anwarat are coming from Rasul, from Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. And in the city of the beloved, a person needs to feel something. Many people, what will they say? Say, Alhamdulillah, I went and I prayed in Riyadh al-Jannah. Guess what? I was able to figure out how to do this with the app. I went 10 times. And I was able to go stay there for half hour each time. And Zabardast, in breakfast time, what happens? Everyone is showing off what they did the night before. Everyone is talking about breakfast time, right? In the hotel. Hey, what'd you do last night? Oh, what'd you do last night? I was there for this long. I was there for that long. Remember this. You could go. There's a place that says, هذا محراب النبي. هذا مصلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. There's an actual spot where it says, this is the exact spot where the Prophet led his salah from. Where he was, where, as an imam, he stood. Can you imagine? It's written there. And you have, there's these, you know, it's a big mihrab, a big niche, huge one. And then to the left of it, you know, these black dots, big black circular tiles. And it's written there. This is the musalla of the Prophet ﷺ. This is where he prayed. And people fight to get there. And so a person may go and he may be able to get in, mashallah, you know, get in there. And he pray his salah. But remember, if a person's life is not according to the sunnah, then you pray 1,000 rakats there. It doesn't do you any good. It doesn't harm you and doesn't benefit you. 1,000 rakats. That your head is going under the same spot where the Prophet ﷺ's head went, doesn't make a difference. What's the point? If there is no ittiba of sunnah, there's no following of sunnah outside of this little show, this little act, then this means nothing. There are many who may never be able to go to Medina, never be able to afford it. Thousands of people never be able to go to Mecca, can never afford it. But by Allah, they're going to be far ahead of those who go on a regular basis, maybe, but do not have sunnah in their lives. So this is... Mecca and Medina are great portals for us to transport ourselves away to another world. But the condition for that is there needs to be ittiba' of sunnah. There needs to be ita'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obedience to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then my beloved brothers, a person may from far, when he just looks, he may end up tearing up so much. And he cannot even speak. You're so heartbroken. You are so, you know, you are so saddened that you don't have words. MashaAllah. You know, I look at those people. I know I'm very weak myself, but I look at those people. Usually many people from elders from overseas, from Indo-Pak, whatnot, coming there. From, you know, families who don't have the wealth to they had to probably sell their livestock to be able to get the ticket to come. And you see with what jazba, with what desire, with what hamasa, they sit and they look at Rasulullah's resting spot. And they just shed tear upon tear upon tear. And you see, that is true ishq. That's true love. I cannot imagine someone who has this much love can openly disobey the Prophet ﷺ back at home. Right? But that is where you and I need to start focusing on. That these places are great places for the tajalli of Allah to be seen, to be manifested. As you are aware, Medina has got the tajalli of Jamal. And Mecca has the tajalli of Jalal. That in Mecca, the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are filled with awe and greatness become manifested. And in Medina, the sifa where of Allah's mercy and lutf and kindness become manifested. But in order for us to feel any of these tajallis, we have to first cleanse ourselves with the tears. We have to wipe, we have to ask Allah to purify our hearts and make an effort to purify the hearts of our children. My beloved friends, one of the signs of the hour is that the ziyarah to Haramain al-Sharifain will become for the rich. It will become, this is the hadith in Fadail al-Hajj of Sheikh Zakaria, this is written there. That for the rich, it will become vacation. For the ulama, it will become show to see how many hajj did you perform. The scholars will show off how much they performed hajj. For the rich, it will become what? Vacation. And for the business, for the middle class, it will be a source of business. And for the poor, it will be a place to beg. SubhanAllah. That's one of the signs of the hour. We're seeing that happening. So the key thing is, make the niyyah right. Let's all make niyyah to go visit these places. Say inshallah. Because it's not befitting for a Muslim. Not befitting for a Muslim not to have the burning desire to go to the Haramain al-Sharifain. As often as possible. As often as possible. But at the same time, we also have to prepare ourselves properly. So while we make niyyah to go for hajj or for umrah, if hajj is fard upon you, make niyyah right now, my friends. All of you young brothers here. If you have the ability to go, go. You look at 2 years we were deprived. How we sat there, cried, Ya Allah, what's going to happen? I really didn't think this is, you know, I don't know if anything's going to open up again. You know, still we are not able to touch the Kaaba. Still we're not able to get close to the Hajj al-Aswad. I pray that also opens up. Say ameen. Right? But we're about, what, 20 feet distance. But inshallah, that will hopefully also go away. But you don't know. Allah can test us like this again. So while you have an opportunity, you have the money, you have the ability, go for it. Right? So make niyyah for that. And second thing is, prepare for it spiritually. If you have elder, if you have parents, many people have just been busy earning, and they never thought about Hajj. Now they're in their 60s. They have sitting on so much wealth. They've traveled the whole world, vacation to every single Mediterranean island out there and South Indian Ocean island. But they have not gone for Hajj yet. So if you have no uncles and aunts in your family, my advice to you, please encourage them to go for Hajj. Speak about it. If you're a 20-something, say, uncle, auntie, you know, I'm going. Why don't you come along? I'll take you. Right? They have the money, but they need a little push, a little encouragement. All those people flying to Indo-Pak every year, flying right over the Middle East. And believe it or not, many people simply haven't thought about it. Because I have had this conversation, subhanAllah, at dinner with someone. Not one, multiple. With multiple people. And when I asked them that, Kabhi gaya haj nahi? I said, subhanAllah, you don't travel? No, I go every year to, you know, back home. I said, but you literally fly over the Kaaba. You're flying over Middle East. You ever thought about it? No, I never thought about it. But do it. What are you waiting for? You're 70. You're not getting any younger. You have money. Do it. It's fard. Chalo, is there time? Yeah, I said, there's 3 weeks left. There's 2 weeks left. I'll give me your passport. We'll take care of it. SubhanAllah. And then they end up going for Hajj. So many brothers and sisters and uncles and aunties, they just need a little bit of encouragement. And you have, subhanAllah, helped someone establish one of the pillars of Islam. Everything else you have to do repeatedly. There's one thing you only do once in your lifetime. That's Hajj. So I encourage you all to make this discussion, because you can't wait for next 2-3 months. Start right now. This is the time to start speaking about Hajj. And inshallah, through the barakah of that, people will start making niyyah. So here we are. We're speaking about either balad is the earth, the entire earth, or balad is Ka'batullah or Makkah al-Mukarramah. And one thing I wanted to say is that is there barakah in it? If you go touch the walls, thinking that the Kaaba itself will do something, no, it will not. Umar radiallahu anhu said that. He says, you know, oh, he spoke to the Hajj al-Aswad. He says, oh Hajj al-Aswad, I know, oh, the Kaaba, you have no ability to harm me and no ability to benefit me. The only reason I'm kissing you is because I saw the Prophet ﷺ kissing you. That's it. Right? That's it. That is the tawheed that we have. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he put his chest and his cheeks against the Kaaba, between the Hajj al-Aswad and the door of the Kaaba, which is known as the Multazam. What does Multazam mean? The place to cling. Chipakne ki jaga. The place to cling. And so this is where the Prophet ﷺ would cling onto the Kaaba with his cheeks against the beautiful Kaaba, and he would cry. And he'd say, Ha huna tuskabu dumur. This is the place where tears are supposed to be shed. This is the place where you are as though you are literally at the court of Allah. You're at the kursi of Allah. You're at the arsh of Allah. You're at, what we say figuratively speaking, at the feet of Allah, begging Him. And they say there are some people who do tawaf of the Kaaba, and there are some who do tawaf of the Lord of the Kaaba. So we should do the tawaf of the Lord of the Kaaba. Meaning our niyyah is not doing tawaf around a cube. Our niyyah is, Ya Allah, I'm like a child running around begging for his mom to give him what he wants. I am like that beggar who is doing tawaf here, begging you, Ya Allah, to give me forgiveness. Give me mercy. Give me, you know, my needs that I have. With that niyyah, when a person does it, then he remembers the ayah, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ. Indeed, the first house to be established and built for the people, for ibadah, لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّ is the one in Makkah. What is the condition of it? Mubarak. It is blessed. This Kaaba is blessed. وَهُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And it is a source of guidance for the entire worlds. فِيهِ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ. There are open, clear signs in this Kaaba, in this haram. So we need to open up our eyes to be able to go see all of these things. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the love of the Haramain al-Sharifain, and grant us the ability to visit the Haramain al-Sharifain repeatedly in a manner that is accepted and beloved to Allah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the ability to obey His commands and truly follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while we're there, and while before we go there, and after we come back. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen.